Blog Talk Radio.
The LaRusha Cain Show.
Hello, beautifuls, and thank you for tuning in to the LaRusha Cain Show. I am excited to be with you. Yes, I am. As always, I have my tea. I hope that you have your tea, your coffee, or your favorite beverage as we sit back and chat. Well, today, in the co-host chair, we have the one, the only, Dr. Anissa Mathis. I'm telling you that she is phenomenal. She is a trailblazer. She is cutting edge. I'm telling you that this woman is all of that and some. Dr. Anissa Mathis is a published author, mentor, spiritual coach, domestic violence counselor, and advocate, and a former relationship columnist. She is passionate, motivated, and driven to empower others to fulfill their purpose in life. So, if you know someone that needs to hear Dr. Mathis today as we talk about relationship and communication, I am going to give you just a few seconds to hit up your Facebook family and friends, your Instagram buddy, your tweets, and let them know that it's going down today. Dr. Mathis is in the co-health chair in the virtual green room, drinking her virtual latte, eating some virtual popcorn, just waiting to share. And so, if you don't have pen and paper, this is your time. Hint, hint, wink, wink, to get you pen, get a pen and get some paper to take down these notes, because it's going to be life-changing. Beautifuls, have you ever been in a relationship and you just didn't know what to do? You didn't know what to say and how to say it. You found yourself frustrated, irritated, because it just seemed like you're speaking two different languages. It seemed like he's, you know, do you remember that show, Mark from Ark, or I said it wrong, but he's going nano, nano. Well, anywho, well, sometimes it sounds like that. It sounds like you're speaking two different languages. You know, you're speaking English and you're speaking Spanglish, and it's just a mess. And you find yourself just frustrated and irritated. You find yourself wondering why you're in this relationship. Why is this going the way that it's going? Why? You know, we're saying this, saying things when no one is listening. Well, today, Dr. Mathis is going to share with us how to get on track, what to do, and how to do it. Well, I can't wait for her to share with us, so I'm not going to prolong her time. I'm going to bring her in. Hello, Dr. Mathis.
Hey there, beautiful. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Girl, I am doing phenomenal. Just great. And just ecstatic to be here with you today.
I love it. I love to hear people talk about they're doing phenomenal. Because in the time in which we're living, you know, sometimes people don't feel that way. And so to hear that, I'm just excited. Well, start off the show with these icebreaker questions. You know, I was at the movies one day, and and you know, I was watching the show Top 5, and he had his top 5 rappers, And it just really struck me because sometimes we don't know, you know, the person that the people are interviewing, and it gives them an opportunity to get to know you in a whole different way. So are you game? Would you like to play this game with me so they could know you in a different way?
Yes. Yes. Let's play. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Well, question number one. Books or movies? Which one do you prefer?
Books. Books.
And why?
I am a readaholic. I am a readaholic. Oh. I have been a nerd readaholic since elementary school. So books. I have books and books and books. Oh, yes, books. I love movies, but books. Priority.
Oh, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Oh, God. If you could pick anywhere in the world to live, where would you live?
Hawaii.
Oh, yes.
Without a care in the world, just Hawaii. No worries, no cares, no nothing, just hanging out by the beachfront. Although I can't swim, I still would love to stay there.
There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I went to Hawaii. It's everything. So I definitely understand. I wanted to just pack up and stay. Oh.
I know. I saw your pictures. I thought you weren't going to come back.
Oh, my God. 10 days of bliss. I tell you, it's everything. Well, number three. I know people are going to say, this is a stretch. Soul food or junk food?
Girl, that's easy. Junk food all day long. Not good for you, but junk food. Searching for it all the time. Bad habit.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I do understand. I do understand.
Yes, bad habit. My husband is on my case about it all the time. All the time.
Oh, my God. Yes, I do understand. I'm trying. I'm trying.
It's so hard. Yes, I know. But, yeah, that's the preference. I mean, I love our soul food, but junk food, yes.
Oh, God, yes. Well, number four. Number four, if you could conversation with someone from the past or the present, who would it be?
It would be me. And I would want to sit down and have a conversation, say, look here, girl, let me just let you know some of the things that are coming up in your future. And these are some of the things that you need to change. Some of those behaviors, some of those habits, definitely get rid of some of those relationships. As a matter of fact, don't even open up the door to those. And just prepare. Make sure that you're prepared for what's coming up. And these are the things that you need to do to prepare. You know, I would really, really have a conversation with me so that some things could change. You'd be surprised at how many people would answer in that manner. So I'd go back and have a conversation with me. Look, you need to get this together before you run amok and before you just run your vessel into the ground and you may not be able to come back up. So, yeah, it will be me.
I love it. Okay. Now, I was not expecting that one because usually I ask, you know, when I do ask this question, people will say, oh, Harriet Tubman or, you know, Diddy or whomever. Oh, no, Marla the King.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, they never say themselves. And just what said, just to tell yourself, don't.
Girl, don't do it.
This is what's going to happen.
Don't do it.
Don't you. Oh, my God, if only.
Don't do it. From the very first bad relationship, I'd be like, girl, leave it where you saw it. Don't even do it. Don't. It's going to cost you, so don't do it.
Oh, my God, I love you. Thank you for being honest and so transparent because I'm telling you, when you said that,
girl,
my mouth dropped open. I said, oh, God, this is going to be delicious today. Okay, number five. All right. If you could pick your ideal career, career choice, what would you do? What would you do?
I digress. I would do exactly what I'm doing now. My favorite career choice is actually helping people by way of counseling and mentoring. I could do that with my eyes closed, do it in my sleep. I could do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I just love it. I just love to see people come from the bottom to the top. That is my ideal choice. Unfortunately, as life dictates for this very short season, because I guarantee it's not going to last that much longer, I have to do a real work where I get a real paycheck, deal with outside stuff. But, you know, that's going to be short-lived this year. But just to be able to, you know, help people, you know, to really counsel people, you know, to get back into the game of life, to mentor people where they are, to get them to go where they're going. That's my ideal right there. Do it all the time. Love it. Love it.
Oh,
it's better
God.
Than a paycheck. You hear people say that. And, you know, some people say it because it just seems to be cliche to say, but literally when people tell you they got it or you see the light come on in their eyes or you know that they're getting on that bike and riding and they are making life happen the way it should for them, it is better than a paycheck. Yes, we need a paycheck to live and to pay bills, but it's better than a paycheck. I promise you it is the most rewarding thing that you could ever experience. So that would be my ideal career.
Love it. I love it. You purposeful. I love that. And if you know her, you know she's telling the truth. And if you don't know her, you will know by the time we finish this show. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I tell you, your answers were phenomenal. And I thank you for sharing that with us. Well,
thanks.
Listening
you're
audience,
welcome.
I'm not sure if you're aware, today she's going to be talking about relationship and communication. Ooh, that juicy stuff. So I'm just going to jump right into the questions. Well, how important is communication in relationships, Dr. Mathis?
It is the survival of any relationship. I tell you that. Not one relationship can survive without communication. Let me put it like this. I was thinking about it and just thinking the other day, and I was sharing with some of my mentees, and we were talking about exactly that, communication, and the importance of that. And many people don't know that communication actually starts, it's more than just verbal. It is our five senses. You know, it is the facial expressions, it's our eyes, you know, our body language. And even babies know how to communicate. They can't talk, but they know how to communicate. Do you know the first thing they communicate is a lie? A lot of people don't know that. How so? Glad you asked, audience. So you take a baby who has been fed, that baby has been fed, whether it is by the bottle or breastfed, and they are dry and they are not sick, not colicky, but they are screaming bloody murder to the top of their lungs, crying tears and snot going everywhere until mommy picks up baby. Then baby gets quiet. That baby just told a lie, and that is the art of communication. And what that communication says is that, mommy, I want to be next to you. I want to be close to you. I want to connect to you, and I want us to bond. And the only way I know that we can bond is if you pick me up. And the only way I can get you to pick me up is if I cry bloody murder until you get tired of me. That's the art of communication. Even babies know how to communicate. It's very important for any relationship to last. You know, oftentimes we don't. We grow up in our family dynamics, and our way of communication is what our family presents to us. Some families are not able to communicate unless they're cursing each other out. And let me just say, audience, to be clear, that includes the saints. Just because you're not in their house doesn't mean that they don't curse each other out until they get to church on Sunday. Let me just say that. But, you know, sometimes that's we present communication, or we do communication by yelling or screaming or by nonverbal communication, if you will. I'm not going to talk to you. You don't talk to me. You stay on your side of the room.
Yeah.
I stay on my side of the room. You know, or, you know, the communication is by pushing and shoving or throwing things. But communication is very key to any relationship survival. The problem is that we oftentimes don't know how to communicate in a positive manner. And that's where the breakdown comes in, because we have not been taught. See, communication has to be taught, you know, and unfortunately many of us, we are taught erroneously or in the wrong manner by way of what our family members present to us or do not present to us by nonverbal communication, so to speak. So if there's going to be healthy in any relationship, whether it's with parents, siblings, family members, other family members, friends, coworkers, church members. See, the reason why the saints don't know how to communicate is because they didn't know how to communicate at home. So any viability of a relationship, there must be communication. It is priority. It is priority. Unfortunately, many people think that sex is what will make a relationship last. That's the wrong answer. Or that buying gifts or receiving gifts will make a relationship last. Wrong answer. It's communication. And listen, audience, truth be told, I didn't learn how to communicate until I was like 45, 46. Isn't that something? I thought I was, but I really learned how to communicate at that age. And so, and you understand that it's the life source or life force foundation of any relationship on any level. It's very important.
Yeah. It really is. Oh, my God, you said a mouthful. Oh, my God. And you are absolutely, I'm just going to go back to the babies. You know, you're telling the truth. They holler, they scream, they kick it, and you know you've done everything. There's nothing wrong with that child. Just want to be held.
Yes.
Just want to be next to mama. And that is a lie. People don't even look at it as a lie or even an art of communication. And it just baffled me. And I know someone was shocked.
Yes, they were like, you call the babies liars? Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're little storytellers. But those storytellers get that communication across. Because when mommy picks them up, then mommy talks to them. Baby coos and baby smiles and make facial expressions. And mom makes facial expressions. And therein is that communication. Therein.
Yes. Oh, I love it. You said you were talking about how the saints don't know how to communicate, and we don't know how to communicate in our relationships and things of that nature. And, you know, I grew up in, I'm talking about in my teen years when I moved with my mom, all I heard was screaming and hollering and stuff breaking and cussing. And my mom's favorite word was every cuss word you could think. So she had a lot of sentences and answers. And so when I grew up, you know, at first I was like, what's wrong with these people? Because I didn't move with her until I was 11. So I thought, surely something is wrong. But after staying in that situation for so long, I found myself modeling that same behavior.
Absolutely.
You know, I couldn't communicate without a good bleep, a good sentence answer. And it just felt like it just felt better. It tasted better, you know, with that word just coming out. And I found myself being verbally abusive. Emotionally abusive, and all this, and my nonverbal and verbal communication did not match.
It never does. Never does.
I looked inviting, but what was coming out my mouth was totally the opposite, and I was like, "Oh my God!" When you said you didn't learn until your 40s. So want to ask you, what happened to you, or what was the defining moment where you realized something has to change? This isn't right.
Yeah, that it definitely was a defining moment because you know you if you really see what people also don't realize is that if you want things to be better, it's not just about doing better, but it's about coming to the realization that you yourself must be authentic and transparent with you, not just to other people. We can do that. We can say it. We can practice it and make it perfect. You know, I'm just me. I'm just real. I'm just this. I'm just that. But really, when you close the door and close the curtains, are you really authentic with yourself? Are you really transparent? And when I decided that I needed to try that, man, I tell you, it for many people is challenging and they won't go through it because it puts you in a place of vulnerability. And human nature dictates to us not to be vulnerable. We don't want to be vulnerable because it just opens up so many things. But I come to that space, not that place, but that space in my life where I wanted the next season of my life, the next chapter to look different, to look better. What do I need to do that's different? And as I began to think about my connections and relationships and associations and all those things, and even my past relationships or the past few marriages that failed, it's like, okay, you can't just always point the finger at someone else. Where do you play a role in this? And when I began to really look at that, I say, you really don't know how to communicate. Because when those two guys that you divorced from acted up and it became difficult and arguments and all the other kind of stuff, how did you communicate? Even when you were angry or even when I was upset or, you know, fearful, whatever emotions I had, my way of communication was just to shut down. I don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk. I don't want to talk about it. And all of those different emotions that went along with that, I'm not going to talk because I'm afraid I'm going to say something wrong and then it's going to make things worse, or I don't want to say the wrong thing because I'm feeling a lot of curse words as a saint and I don't want to say them because I can't roll them back. Let's just be authentic. And so I'm like, and that's not how I should feel. And I didn't want to feel that way. So I'm like, okay, what can I do different? And then I began childhood. You know, there was not a lot of communication with my mom and my biological father. It was just him, a bunch of yelling and the screaming and all of the fighting and all of the beatings. And, you know, even when he lined us up against the wall with a shotgun threatening to kill us all, you know, there was no communication. It was just fear. You know, and the best thing to do is not to say anything, because if you say something, then he might shoot. And then, you know, so I began to think about all those things, like, how did I want life to be different for me? Then that means I had to learn how to communicate and be willing to communicate and to be willing to communicate how I'm really feeling. But before I can do that, I had to know, how am I really feeling about me? Because again, so let me digress and put it to you like this. If we want to be, or when we decide that we want to be better communicators, the communication starts with you. You got to be able to communicate with yourself. Communicate what you like and dislike about yourself. Communicate your vulnerabilities. Communicate being authentic and transparent. Be able to communicate that, because when we are able to do that, then we're able to see through the glass clearly. We're able to communicate with people, and we're able to accept people right where they are and not judge or not have expectations, because we have met ourselves right where we are. Then you understand that you're not perfect and never will be until we go to see Jesus.
Yes.
And so you accept your flaws and your shortcomings and all that kind of stuff. You know, and ladies, we have issues with ourselves, makeup, no makeup, wigs, hair, this, that, and the other, weight, height, all that kind of stuff. But when you learn how to accept you for who you are, then you're able to communicate and you're able to say it with the grace and with the power and authority and the empowerment that's needed to keep you in a place where you are, because no one can communicate to you better than you can communicate to yourself. And when you do that, I mean, I just wanted that change. I didn't want to go through the next season of my life not being able to communicate, you know, and not being able to express myself. And my wonderful husband now, he's been very patient with that, because it hasn't always been cookies and creams and peaches. You know, he's like, okay, babe, you know, this is this and this is that, you know, and don't fall into habits, because hard habits, long habits are hard to break. And so you have to be consistently present to do the work of communication. You don't just get on that bike of communication one day and say, I got it, and you're gone with it. No, baby. It takes some consistent being present consistently. And so I just wanted that change, and it starts with you. We got to communicate with you first. Nothing else works unless you do that.
You know, that's when you fall and say hallelujah. You want to say see
love. All that.
You just want to,
all of that.
Because it begins with you. Oh, my
Absolutely.
God. Because I hear people all the time, this person made me feel this way, or, you know, I don't know how I feel. I don't know what I'm thinking. Or you say, good morning, how are you? You know, and I'm not picking on the saints, but I'm picking on the saints. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored.
Yeah, there you go.
That's not a feeling. That's not a feeling. No.
Yeah, that whole shenanigan right there. Again, oh, girl.
That's not a feeling. And so we lie to ourselves all the time. Okay, I don't feel good today. I'm not as happy today. But we lie to ourselves and say, everything's perfect. I'm perfect. my life is perfect, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. oh, my kids are perfect, mm-hmm. my husband is perfect, mm-hmm. all is well. Because I lived that lie, too, in my first marriage. I just wanted to portray that everything was perfect and everything was miserable. I was sad. I didn't live in my truth. I didn't know myself. I was crazy, you know, and I was getting crazier being in a relationship because I was not honest with myself. I didn't know myself, and I wasn't present in my own life, and mm-hmm. I was too busy trying to be a superwoman to everyone else that I wasn't even good to myself. So I just want to say, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I'm telling you, somebody just hit me up and says, thanks, Russia. I was like, okay, I didn't say nothing.
You're welcome,
Pumpkin. But I just appreciate that because you started living in your space, as you said. You took control of your life. You embraced mm-hmm. your imperfections. You were mm-hmm. honest with yourself.
And still doing it.
Mm-hmm. How can we just be honest? It's a daily thing.
I'm trying to tell you, I'm still doing it. We evolve every day. We change. You know, there's revolutions going on within us, within our minds, you know. And then there are people that come to really, really show you where you are and where you are not in different relationships. And you're challenged with how to communicate or how not to communicate, whether it's family members, whether it's your spouse, your children, coworkers, people on the street. I mean, every day we are, if we're present in life, if we choose to be present, then there's going to be someone or something to challenge your ability to communicate or not communicate. And then you take away from that, okay, how did I do with this? Okay, at the end of every day, almost every day that I can remember, okay, how did I do today with my communication with this person, that person? Oh, that wasn't good. Okay, I note to myself to do this or to say that or to act in this manner the next time this arises or this comes up or to stand, you know, and communicate in a manner that shows that person that I'm greatly empowered, you know, and that, you know, your behavior is not acceptable to me. So let me just put up this fortress right now. I'm going to communicate with you, but what I'm not going to do is allow you to strip me of my power. Because unfortunately, that's where we are. You know, people will try to strip you of your power, of your character, of your personality, and they can only do it if you allow them to do so. You know, just in the last year of 2017, I had one individual that really, really challenged me at work every day with the whole issue about, you know, this power struggle control. You know, you have to know and see mm-hmm. yourself for who you are. People can be really intimidated by you. You know, as my husband always remind me, you know, sometimes God doesn't allow us to see the full spectrum of who and what we are and all, what we're all about simply because he doesn't want us to get the big head. Hint, hint. Some have mm-hmm. the big head and don't have the necessity to be that because you're not all that. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he keeps us in a place of humility. But other people, and I'm not just talking about the saints, other people can see who you really are. They see your greatness. They see your power and your authority. They see who you are. They see how you're able to move and shift and rearrange your space in life and other people's spaces as well. And their job is to be intimidated, because that's what they make it, their job, mm-hmm. and they become so mm-hmm. intimidated by your presence, so they do everything they can to dismantle you bit by bit, piece by piece. It's up to you to stop those shenanigans. It's up to you to decide how you want to handle that. And you can do it without cursing them out. I have this saying to say, sometimes you have to use words and verbiage in such a way it takes people 3 days to know they've been told off. By that time, it's too late. We've moved on to something else. You know, it's like, okay, that was 3 days ago. Why are we even talking about that? You know, and so, you know, this individual, you know, was like, well, I need to see all of your degrees and I need to see what, you know, your schooling. I'm like, boo, you tripping. I thought if I came out of there with a 4.0. Are you kidding me? Magnum cum laude. So, but you want to see this because you're intimidated by this, and then you decide, well, we're not going to have them call you Dr. Mathis here because now, you know, we come with this thing about, well, you know, now we want to utilize that. You know, it's all because of what works for you. See, oftentimes we don't realize when people communicate to you in that manner, it's really not about you. It's their own stuff. Mm. So if you're in your space the way you are in your space, or you're transparent and authentic with yourself, you're good with that. I'm cool. You know, that's how you feel. That's you. You know, no judgment here. Then you you need to go ahead and get it together. I'll be praying for you for real, you know, because you're really tripping, but I know who I am. And it's unfortunate because people don't realize that for you to get to the place where you are, to be an effective communicator in a relationship, or to just to be who you are, period, there is some fiery stuff that you have to go through. There's some fiery, crazy situations and circumstances. There's some downtime. See, a lot of times people don't know where you came from. They don't know if you went through a whole period of depression and didn't want to get out of bed every day. They don't know if you went through drinking binges while you're saved, or getting high while you're saved, or having sex while you're saved. Come on, saints, don't y'all hit us up with no responses. But I'm just saying, you know, we have to learn how to be authentic and communicate, hey, this is my issue, this is my problem, what am I going to do to resolve it or to get over it, to get past it? And so it's very important that, you know, we recognize that we work on that. And it's an everyday happenstance. I kid you not. It'll never stop as long as the breath of life is within you. Never stop.
Now, that was juicy. That was juicy, you know, because I'm listening to you. And, you know, we give our power away so easily to people. And we're wondering, why is this person don't like me? Why is this person talking to me some type of way? Or why is this person treating me this type of way? And we can, you know, communicate effectively, you know, not, because when I like you said, you know, that they're invading your personal space. You should have boundaries that people cannot cross.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
But if we don't have boundaries with ourselves, how are we going to, you know, teach someone how to have boundaries with us? And if we don't know how to effectively communicate our own needs and wants and desires and live in our truth and stand in our truth and live in our space and be present every day, all day, how can we expect that from someone else? And I think for me, and I'm just being honest with you and the listening audience, I wanted people to be truthful with me and to me when I was living a lie to myself.
Right.
About myself. Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. My enemy wasn't my sisters and brothers. My enemy wasn't the devil. My enemy was myself. And the self-sabotage, because we want greater. And, you know, we're in a new year. And we always say, this is my year. This is my season. We do our affirmations. We do our vision boards. we do everything else. But we won't work on ourselves. We won't seek help. We won't get help. So the question I want to ask, because, you know, should we take a communication class?
Absolutely. I mean, think about it like this. If it was in regards to a career, if it was in regards to a class that we needed to take for educational pursuits or our degree, you know, pursuits, then we would gladly take it. Because after all, you know, it's for the betterment of our job, the betterment of our career. It's a part of our education. But what about for the betterment of you as an individual? You know, should you take communication, the art of communication, you know, like the five languages of love? That's a part of communication that people utilize for premarital counseling or for marriage counseling. You know, but what about the art of communication with self and with others? Because again, like I said, unless we can be transparent with ourselves and authentic, then we'll never be able to be that with others. You know, it's very important. I know that for the most part, for most individuals, the reason why that is such a challenging situation is because we don't want to be judged by other people. You know, we don't want to be rejected by other people. But I promise you that when you decide to be authentic and transparent with yourself, it doesn't mean that, you know, there won't be times that we are disappointed or hurt or offended by being judged or being rejected. But it becomes easier because you're in such a great space with yourself. Until you realize that you meet people where they are and you accept human nature as it is, that it is the human nature, the human psyche to judge others, to reject others because it's just a part of how we're wired. You know, we just get our rocks off, or we feel justified in judging others, or feel justified in rejecting people, or rejected people reject others, just like hurt people hurt others. Judgmental people judge others. People that are judged judge others because it's a part of human nature. We want to pass on the good and the bad. But when we come to that place and say, hey, you know, like for those, our listening audience, if you feel like you're not an effective communicator, I admonish you. I applaud that, you know, going to take a class on communication. You'd be surprised at how much you will find out about not just human beings or society as a whole, but about yourself as a person, as an individual. And it is liberating. It's liberating to be able to know that, hey, communication starts with me, and now I can move forward in life. Is I'm telling you, it's just not just a blessing. It's liberating. Just liberating.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I just got my life on this on this show today because it is liberating. It definitely is. And I think so often, again, we pass the buck on to everyone else. It's about everyone else, not about us. Mm-hmm. We don't take ownership. Mm-hmm. And it is important to be able to talk about we're feeling and thinking and going through, being honest with ourselves as individuals. And, you know, working with women as we do, we find it, I know I do, that when I'm talking to them, coaching them, they want to talk about everybody else, the pastor, the husband, the kids, the dog, everybody else, but not themselves, because they don't want to come from behind the mask and stand in their truth and live in their space. So for those that are book readers, since you are a book aholic, so to speak, can you
definitely
give them maybe one or two books that they could jumpstart that process, the communication
process? One of the things that, you know, I would suggest, of course, is any great author that talks about communication or art of communication is a really good place to start. And let me just say, because oftentimes, and I'm picking on the saints, but I'm not, as we say, the saints will start with, okay, I can only read a book that is Christian, you know, it's of Christian background or whatever. And there are a lot of leaders who write about, you know, communication or that kind of stuff, and that's wonderful. I don't knock that. But we need to learn how to expand and broaden our horizons, so to speak, you know, and not just read Christian literature, but read books that, you know that there are some authors, you know, always suggest, because everyone has a different taste, you know, in regards to that genre, you know, looking at the author and researching what they're all about and where they've come from. There's a book that I just read not too long ago called 40 Days of a Miracle. This woman, it was phenomenal in all of the work that she did. She wrote about, you know, how to make a miracle in 40 days in regards to not the miracle that we would think, like some of the TV banners say, get your miracle water and you'll get some spiritual blessings. No, we're not talking about that. It's just everyday happenstance of life. Her name is Melody Beattie, B-E-A-T-T-I-E. She wrote books about codependency. But in all of her books, you will find that there's an art of communication, especially the book of Making Miracles in 40 Days. It's a really great book because what it does is it brings you to your present, so to speak. It makes you realize what you are doing or what you're not doing and how you need to look at life from a different perspective. See, we get caught up as Christians and we only want to look at things from a spiritual perspective, but God made us to be so much more than that. So we have to come out of that space where we've been erroneously taught that everything is just always about God, and that's not the case because he made us so much more than that. But in this book, I like how she presented the exercises of grateful. Now, hold your seats with this, because when she talked about grateful, it's not like the song Grateful of Hezekiah Walker. It's not like, you know, I'm just grateful, God, I'm so grateful for this, that, and the other. No, she puts this in another perspective and say, I want you to write down about the things that you're grateful for. You're grateful for being a failure. You're grateful for your mistakes. You're grateful for being angry. You're grateful for being. And so it brings you to a perspective. It takes us back to being authentic and transparent. And it's a really good way personally start with communication and then kind of branch out from there. You know, go on Amazon or begin to look up, you know, the different authors that will meet you where you are, that will suit your taste, so to speak, you know, because I can, you know, go all over the place, but everyone has a different taste. But this is a good place to start because it starts with personal communication. And it's called Make Miracles in 40 Days. And again, her name is Melody, M-E-L-O-D-Y. Last name is Beattie, B-E-A-T-T-I-E. I promise you, you get that book, it is revolutionizing for the mind. And it's a really great book, really great read.
Oh, my God. Yes. For those that are saying, I need this book, don't hesitate. Go now. Don't leave us, though. Go now and order the book. You know where you're at. We know where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, we
get it on Amazon.
We just crossed over into a whole new year. And so, you know, we say all these things. We tell ourselves some great lies, too. I'm just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, you know, this is going to be my best year, but we don't want to put no work into it. We just think God's going to manifest everything. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like, and they think Jesus just going to come back down and, you know, sit on right here and say, go ahead, girl, do this. No, it's not going to happen. You have to take ownership of your life.
Yes.
And you have to be real and honest. And it requires that work.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we don't like to use. You know, it's like we go to the altar and we want people to put the blessed oil on us and pray for us and say, I don't want this high blood pressure, this diabetes, but we won't change our eating habits, you know, and certain things. So,
yes. Yes.
It requires us to change some things, do some things differently. And if you want some different things, you got to try some different things. But you said also
Absolutely.
That really tickled my fancy. You said you can always read, I'm paraphrasing this, these are not her words, this is just Russia, Christian books. You know, you have to go and get something else. And I can only speak for myself. You know, I read a lot of different books. I do. And my new baby that I started reading was Emotional Intelligence. And
I love
okay.
that. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, okay. Because, you know, we know that emotional intelligence is it's not always intelligent. So I'm just going to leave that there like that. And so
I
needed to read something to help me in my process. For, you know, so I could continue to walk out this and be the best, my best self. I don't want to live a lie. You know, and you said it, we're perfectly imperfect. And I think that that was liberating for someone on the line or that's listening in by way of phone or by way of the internet, that it's okay to not be perfect. It's okay. Absolutely. To say, God, I was just angry. I just I just smoked a blunt, you know.
mm-hmm.
I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Living in your truth. So, I know a little secret, and I'm going to ask you about that in a minute, but.
Okay.
For those that are listening in that may be struggling with living in their space and living an authentic life, I want to give you just a few minutes for you to share with them or to encourage them, speak to them about whatever it is that you would like to say to them personally about them continuing their process or starting their process.
Yeah, well, you know, for those that are listening to the listening audience today, this show is your starting process. It's one of those things I call a defining moment, because this is a moment in time defined specifically for you just by listening to this show today and being a part of this with us. This is a start, because everything that's been said will turn the wheels in your mind, and I'm sure that it has. If you're really honest, that's exactly what it's doing. And I tell you how I know this, how we know this. How? I'm glad you asked, simply because you're still on with us. That is an indication that you're interested in what God is saying to you and what we're saying, you know, our personal experiences. You have to come to the place, we say another cliche, and I'm sure you probably said it yourself, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of this, or my weight, or my mindset, or my lack of relationships, or my marital issues, or whatever it is. And of course, you know, again, as Loresha says, that we're in this new year, but listen, if you're on this calling, you're ready to make the change, this is your defining moment, and your time is now. Do not put yourself in a bad space where you try to do everything all at one day and one moment, because Rome wasn't built in one day, and your life doesn't change in one day. All the time that it took to create the habits that you have, the behaviors, the insecurities and inconsistencies, it took time to build those, and it's going to take time to dismantle those. So the first thing I would suggest with you is not only just as you're listening to this radio show today, but to be patient with you. Write down a list of all the things that you want and desire or need to have changed in your life. And as you look at that, be honest. Don't just write something that, oh, if someone else reads this, I don't really want them to see it. But be very, very authentic. In other words, give yourself permission to be vulnerable. And as you write those things down, yes, it is going to be painful. As you think, and if you're authentic, there are going to be some things you write down that you didn't even know that was a part of your mind or it was in your subconscious mind, but write it anyway. Mm-hmm. And as you write it, then I want you to write next to it, what are the 5 things that I can do or I need to do to change this mindset or to change this behavior or to change this attitude or to change this thought process. Now, let me give you one fair warning here. It's very clear that you must be very clear with this. Many of you will write this down and you will find out that the most part of it is all about unforgiveness. I'm going to say that again. It's all about unforgiveness. Meaning that there are some people in your life that have hurt you, disappointed you, betrayed you, or you perceived or thought or felt that they've done it, and they haven't done anything, don't even have a clue, or maybe it's just who they are. Again, remember I said earlier, you have to see people for who they are and where they are. I can't judge them. Some people are never going to change. That's just it. They are who they are. Nothing is going to happen different. Even some of the saints will say, I've been saved a long time, and I've always been like this. This is just how I am. Yeah, you hell on wheels, and you burning and going to hell. Just keep it up. But, you know, they're not going to change. They're not listening to God, not listening to the Holy Spirit. This is just how I am. But you will find that you have some people or an individual that you have not forgiven. Therein starts your change. Being ready and willing to release not only them, but most importantly yourself from being in a prison of unforgiveness, which brings on doubt, which brings on bitterness, which brings on hate, which brings on a whole barrage of that. And let me just make it clear to you, those are spirits that like to ride your life and take you on a roller coaster ride that never ends. Be willing to get off of that ride. Be willing to start with you. And it's going to take some work. But if you love you and you want the next season of your life to be better, this is your defining moment today. Write those things down and be willing to put in the work. And I promise you, within 10 to 15 days, you will see a difference if you stick to it. Then over the next 90 days, you will see a greater difference. Stick to it. And if you fall off, get back on. Stick to it. Find you someone that can be an accountability partner that will love you for where you are and all your craziness and not judge you. Now, if you feel like they're going to do that, then don't get that person. And if you get someone and midway through your changing experiences that looks like they're judging you, count them out. Disengage, dismantle, and find someone else. But it's always good to have someone to help you through this process. And I promise you, before 6 months are up, or by 6 months, if you stick to it, you will see a great change, and therein will be your liberty and liberation. I promise you.
She just gave you. She just helped you. She just shared. Now, for those that said, you know, I heard all of that. You gave me the book, but I want you to be my coach. I need help. Help me. How do they contact you? How do they contact
you? Well,
you
know, for our listening audience, you can hit me up on Facebook, you know, Facebook Messenger, and then you can also email me. That's the best way to reach me is drimathis@gmail.com. So that would be DRIMATT as in Tom, HIS, at gmail.com. I'm constantly looking to respond to my current clients and then also my new clients or continuing clients. So those would be the two best ways, specifically by email, to reach me, and then we can go from there. I do have some people that, you know, have reached out to me at the end of the year, and I've taken on a few new clients, which is wonderful because, you know, again, you want to be able to see people for who they are, and it has to start with you. And a lot of people don't realize that, oh, it really has to start with me. They are shocked, amazed, and appalled that it has to start with them first. It's like, well, mm-hmm. How else are we going to do it? You got to work from the inside out. I mean, hey,
exactly.
You know, you got to start somewhere to get somewhere.
Oh, my God. Yes, 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 yes. You got to start somewhere to get somewhere. Well,
absolutely.
Dr. Mathis, well, a little birdie told me recently that you wrote a book.
Yes.
Defining Moments. Well, I'm so happy for you, and I'm proud of you. And I wanted to allow the listening audience to know that you have a book. And can you just give them a snippet of the book? Because I'm telling you, I'm looking at the cover, guys. Listening audience, my beautifuls. I mean, my Jesus, my Lord. It's gorgeous. She shares a lot of things that she's overcame, you know, in her in her younger years, things that she had to, you know, things that tried to destroy her mentally, spiritually, and how she's overcome a whole bunch of things by the grace of God. And so, Dr. Mathis, I just want you to share with us what you would like us to know about this book and give us the link on how to buy it, because we need, listening audience, we need to support. But also, not just support, but read the book and
yeah.
Get the help. So if you buy one book for you, but you know somebody else needs a book, hint, hint. Buy it for somebody else, too. Don't buy it and then say, well, my sister needed more than I do. No, you bought it for you. Buy two,
right.
Buy three, buy four. You know, that thing called Valentine's is coming up. And so
yes.
Give them to
that
someone. Thing. Give them. Buy it for your women's ministry. Buy it for your book club. Buy it for, you
yes.
know, this book will help you. So I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mathis, and I want her to share with us about her book, Defining Moments.
Now, you know, this book is a great book. I just want to say that in writing this book, it was quite challenging. Had a lot of different things going on last year that were definitely challenging, so much so until you just want to just close the door and not go out into the world. So, and as I was writing this book, I was greatly challenged. There was some spiritual attacks. There were some outside attacks. But anything worth having or worth doing is going to come with some challenges. But I knew that I needed to birth this book forth. I needed to get it out. And one of the things that I thought, because we live in a time of where everyone is about social media, people are in a rush, they're busy, they don't have time for this, that, and the other. I wanted to make this book very impactful, but not a lot of heavy reading. You know, you have books that are 100-plus pages, and, you know, people got to take the time to read. But I wanted to do something that was just, you know, really, really short and to the point, but very, very impactful. So if someone gets this book, I kid you not, it's only 67 pages. But you will find some very great defining moment information in those 67 pages. The contents are things like the first chapter is contamination. Then also there's a chapter on identity matters, a chapter on emotions, a chapter on distracted, a chapter on a defining moment where I share what was a defining moment for me to make a change in my life. And I share a little bit about my previous marriage and some of the things that I went through there. And I didn't give all of it because there's a whole nother book coming out with that. But I share about how my life was challenged and how my mentality was challenged and how how it took me through this place of wanting to commit suicide, but too afraid to do it. Then there's the chapter about dropping weight. And then there's a chapter about defining moments to ponder. And the last chapter is a rhema word that God gave me to write and put in this book. And I said, God, it's really strange that you would do that. I've never read a book where at the end they have this, the prophetic word to speak to people. You sure you want me to do that? But when the Lord drops it in my spirit, listen, you got to be obedient to what he says. So I put it in there. And I promise you that some of the feedback that I've been getting in regards to this book has been phenomenal. People have talked about how, you know, they connect to certain things that have happened in their lives and how they realize that everything that we experience and go through, especially the horrible things, the bad things, the things that cause us to wonder if God even exists or if God has forgotten about us or why are these things happening to us, those are defining moments to forge you into who you are going to become or who God has planned for you to be. And listen, you have to understand that defining moments are not just about ministry, but it's about marketplace ministry. It's about making your life and your purpose count for others, because it's never about us. Jesus made that clear to us. It was about everyone else. So it's very important that, you know, we get that. So I wanted to write this book in a manner that would be an easy read for a preteen, a teenager, an older person, a middle-aged person, a seasoned person, support groups, church groups, whatever, anybody from any job we could read this book, men, you know, and get something out of it without a lot of excessive or extensive amount of reading. So I'm getting a lot of good feedback, and that makes me excited and very, very active that God would choose me to be able to share this with people so that they can get the best and optimum out of life, just really, really to be able to move forward. So I'm excited about it. It's getting a lot of traction, so we're really pushing forward with that. If anyone want to get the book, you can get it on Amazon.com, or you can also go to Barnes & Noble. And for those who just want to go order it straight through me, you can go to my.epublishu.com/defining moments. That is my.epublishu.com/defining moments. Either one of those places would be good to get the book. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. And LaRusha, as you said, you know, get it for your groups, get it for your church groups, get it for anybody, everybody. Yeah, that thing called Valentine's Day. Oh, yeah, it's coming up. And show someone you love them by wanting them to know you want them to define their moments.
Yes. Okay. Buy the book. Get the book. I'm telling you. I was sitting here and I was like, oh my God. Okay. let me tell you something. I love books. And there's a lot of books that people give me or I will purchase, and they're are incomplete. You know, have you ever read a book and it's just incomplete? And you're like, what's the other part of the story? Well,
what happened?
There is no incompletion in this book. None. I'm telling you, it will be a tremendous blessing to your women's group, to your book club. And if you have one of those, or, you know, you have your own show or something, and you would like to invite her to come and talk to you about her book or just what she's doing, or minister to you about relationship and communication, whether it's a church or a business, email her, hit her up, contact her. And let her know that you would like for her to come, because I'm telling you, this woman has a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of information, and she will truly be a blessing to anything and everything that you have going on. Her, I'm telling you, this woman walks through many doors, wear many hats, and I am just honored not to just have her on my show, but to know her personally. And I'm not saying this, I'm not endorsing her because I like her. I'm endorsing her because when I was in my 20s struggling with some things, she supported me. She spoke into my life. And I'm not even sure if she remembers, but she spoke into my life and really pushed me through some things and that I still treasure in my mid-40s. So I am grateful for this woman that's on this line. I want to say woman of God, but she's that and so much more. But I'm grateful for her and the gift of love that she has and how she selflessly just pours out and loves and loves and loves. And she will correct you when you're wrong. No, don't get me wrong. She will correct you when you're wrong. She'll do it in love. So we're going to leave them with your information one more time, because we're at that hour that I hate that, you know, I have to let you go, that time in the show. So I want to leave them with your email address again. Please share that with us.
My email address is drimathis, that's with two T's, at gmail.com. Go ahead and email me. If you have some questions, email me. I'll be glad to answer.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Mathis, for joining us today. I'm telling you, this was truly a defining moment for so many of us. We started our process, and we are grateful, and we just appreciate you. Continue to have an awesome day as well. I sure will. Thank you so much again.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, listening audience, we're at that time that I hate where I have to let you go, but you've been listening to the LaRusha King Show. As always, I want you to be encouraged, be inspired, be motivated, living your truth, stand in your truth, be your best self. Be your authentic self. Rock at your own beat. Live at your own pace. Know that you are imperfectly perfect, and there is no one on this earth that can do what you do. Only you, and you alone can do that. So show up. Show up on the runway, quote unquote, of life, and stretch yourself. Live out your purpose. Live out your destiny. Someone's waiting for you. Well, again, you've been listening to the LaRusha King Show. And as always, I love you. Continue to have an empowering day. All right.